A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is an Entel Studios production that is enhanced with Entel technology. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entel app by going to entale.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You all right? Welcome to Making the Cut, folks. This is a podcast. If you've not been here before, it's a podcast where we recommend things to you that we think you will like. So it's not really a review show where we review something and say, well, this is good and this is bad. It's generally things that we've either used or experienced, things we've watched, seen, touched, played with, or smelt. Sorry. And that we think are worth talking about. So it's a recommendation podcast and now a YouTube channel called Making the Cut. The big question is, does it make the cut? Coke Zero.
Oh my God, that is such a blatant advert. We'll have to
makes
put
the
that...
cut, yeah.
We'll have to put that away after this because it does look like a blatant advert, doesn't it?
It's some free advertising for Coke Zero.
No,
can you turn it around like that?
I think it's got to disappear.
I'm parked. You
can't
make it
disappear. What about if you put it like there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So we're recording this, obviously, for the podcast, but for our very first time, we're going to set up a YouTube channel.
Yeah, we are.
And you can watch this as well.
Say that again.
YouTube's. The YouTubes, Stuart Lee would call it. Yes, YouTube, the YouTubes and MySpace and all those usual platforms that everybody downloads.
Comedians like adding S's to things.
Yeah, it just makes, if as soon as you pluralise something, it's much
funny.
Funnier. Yeah, it's
Russell Kane.
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
The Covids,
yeah.
I can't call it COVID anymore. I just call it the Covids.
The Covids, yeah. Have you got the Covids? It's better, it's got nice
or like somebody had a touch of the Covids.
Yes, I went for a COVID test last week, as did my son. Neither of us got it.
How annoyed were you?
I was very annoyed because both of us had a sore throat and a bit of a temperature and runny nose. And I thought, well, great. You know, like having an illness, as long as it's worth it, is worth it.
But it's just a common cold.
It was just an illness. It wasn't worth anything.
Whereas my daughter got it.
Oh, yeah.
Got the tested positive thing and everything.
The irony there is she's a very positive person.
She is a very positive person. She went to Newcastle University and was there a week and got COVID.
I mean,
can you imagine an influx of 50,000 students from all over the country and none of them are
socially
distancing?
No, they all want to snog and a touch and feel and a grope, right? That's what university's for goodness sake. You don't learn anything there, it would seem.
Not the first year.
No.
Well, definitely not the first 2 weeks.
So that's great relief that she's had it.
It is, really.
And it's done and dusted.
I do feel like that.
I wish I had
it. Have you had that cough, like,
no,
been continuous
it's
for an hour?
The Coke Zero is really just frothing in my throat. But it's one of the things I love about Coke Zero. That was a bit of branding for them. I'm going to see
just
if they can...
stop.
Okay.
Just stop with the Cokes.
Other Cokes are available. They're not. Other colas are available.
Other colas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roller cola. Shall I start?
Yes.
This week,
yes.
I travelled to you on the train.
Yes.
It takes about an hour and a half.
Yes.
So I like to download a movie for the journey.
Yes.
So I went onto the iPlayer. Now, the iPlayer is a place that gets neglected by people. They go to Amazon Prime, Now TV, they go to Netflix. But the iPlayer, you tend to leave for like, you know, EastEnders and, you know, some other kind of trivial stuff, a bit of factual entertainment. But if you go to the movie section on the iPlayer, you often find a cracking film on there. And now I found this film called Man Up by Simon Pegg. It's not by Simon Pegg, but he's the kind of lead in it.
Can we quickly discuss Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
I mean, when you think about what he has done and where he's come from and... he's Simon Pegg. Like, I remember when Simon Pegg was in a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was my Simon Pegg.
Yes.
And I was so proud of him Was it Hot Fuzz, the first kind of really
No,
big
Shaun
film?
Of the Dead probably was his
Shaun
first
of the Dead.
One. Yeah.
But then Hot Fuzz...
Hot Fuzz was the second
was
film,
huge.
Edgar Wright. Yeah, the director who made Shaun of the Dead. It was such a big hit that they all went on and made that. They were written by Simon Pegg and the other guy, Nick Frost.
Nick Frost.
So do you know how those two met?
No.
Okay, so Nick Frost's in a restaurant. I think this is it. Nick Frost is in a restaurant and Simon Pegg's a waiter in the restaurant. Now, it's either like Pizza Hut or something like that. And Nick Frost does the whistle of the droid from Star Wars where he goes... and Simon Pegg's walking past and goes... and all of a sudden, they both go... and there's a connection. They're both obsessed with Comic-Con stuff, Star Wars and superheroes and all that kind of stuff. And they strike up a friendship. And the two of them go on and make a series called Spaced. I don't know if you ever remember Spaced
in the 90s. Yes, like really well.
Now you can watch Spaced. It's on Netflix. Absolutely
is it?
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I've got the kids into
I'm
it.
I'm
going to
start writing
Jessica
stuff
Haynes
down because you're recommending
well.
Things.
Yeah.
Spaced.
Yeah.
Okay. On Netflix.
It's on Netflix at the moment. It was made in the 90s. It's like Peep Show, pre-Peep Show,
but
I suppose.
But it's still... Yeah.
Still edgy,
it's still
funny.
Edgy?
Very good, yeah.
Because sometimes I think, yeah, that's still going to work. And then I watch it back and I go, ooh, no.
I mean, I liked it at the time. So for me, there's a nostalgic element to it as well.
Yes.
Simon Pegg still looks like Simon Pegg. He doesn't look like a little boy in it or anything
the
like that.
The thing is, you know? I just love Simon Pegg. And I feel like anything that he did, I would love.
Yes.
Because he's not try hard. At
no,
all.
I think you get the feeling he's extremely great.
Just a lovely person and who happens to be really funny.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you thought I was proud when he started doing movies,
yeah,
you should have seen my face. I felt like his mother. When he got Mission Impossible and suddenly he's friends with Tom Cruise, I'm like, I'm so proud of Simon. It was almost like I was inviting my family around. Have you heard about Simon? He's doing so well.
I have a humorous story about Simon Pegg, and you were
there.
There.
Yeah.
So we went to a party, a fancy dress party, and you dressed up as the lady from The Shining.
I did.
The scared lady who wears the dungarees and carries and carries the baseball bat. I went as the Joker. And when we turned up at this party, Simon Pegg and his wife had come as Jack Nicholson and the scared lady as well. So I was going to go as Jack Nicholson, and I couldn't find the outfit, but Simon Pegg had it down to...
It
perfection.
Was amazing.
Yeah,
and his hair and everything.
He had the maroon jacket on. He had a bald cap on and then a wig on top of that.
It was really
he
good.
He was carrying a fake axe. He had the trousers, the lot. So we got talking to him and his wife, who were both fantastic, actually, weren't they?
So nice. And wait, bear in mind, right, that this is Simon Pegg, who I have thought is part of my, or is my son for many years. And I have said, oh my God, I'm so proud of Simon. And suddenly we meet him at a party. So I'm just standing there going...
Well, you were his fictional wife, of course.
I was his fictional wife.
Yeah.
But he did have his actual wife write that.
Which was irritating. but I went on to talk to him about a film called Ready Player One. Now, this is another film I would highly recommend to anybody
out
there.
It's so good.
Adults, if you want an entertaining movie to watch, by all means, watch it. If you want something to watch with the kids, it's absolutely bang on. It covers the whole
spectrum. Ages, right?
Yeah, all ages.
All ages.
You could watch it with a 5-year-old, you could watch it with a 25-year-old.
It's good for anyone.
It's brilliant. It's a film that's set inside a computer game, but don't let that put you off.
No, because I wouldn't normally like something like that, and I did.
But there's a bit in the middle of the film, I say don't watch it with a 5-year-old, actually, because it's very scary, this bit in the middle of the film, where they recreate a scene from The Shining. They go into the hotel of The Shining, and there's zombies and all that everywhere.
Yes.
And it's really well done. I mean, it really takes you back to when you watched The Shining as a young person many, many moons ago, and just how brilliant a film it is and how weirdly disturbing it is. So I was talking to Simon Pegg about that, and I said, my God, you know, did you see Steven Spielberg's film Ready Player One, and where they recreate The Shining? And he went, yeah, I did see that. I'm actually in it. And I thought, God, not only is he in it, it's like he plays the lead role in the film, you know. So I managed to backtrack out of that.
How did you not know that?
I don't really, well, let me tell you, this is what I said to him. I said, wow, I knew that actually, but you're such a good actor that you transformed into the character so well. I didn't even know it was Simon Pegg that was in the film. He laughed briefly. And then we didn't speak for the rest of the
away.
Night. Yeah,
quite quickly.
It was slightly embarrassing, but Ready Player One is a fantastic
movie.
Didn't he say
movie. Something else?
Yes,
he
did.
Very humble.
He did, because he said
about something.
He said, "Oh yeah." He said, "I remember when they shot that scene. The director told me X, Y, and Z." And I said, "When you say the director, do you mean Steven Spielberg?" And he said, "Yes, I just couldn't bring myself to say when Steven Spielberg." said X, Y, and Z. And I thought, well, that was very, very nice of him, you know, to really play it down.
He's just not like that. He's not that person still after doing all of those Mission Impossible. He's just a really nice guy.
He was anyway. Lovely. So anyway, I saw this film, Man Up. It was there, and I downloaded it, and I thought, well, I'll watch that. It's an hour and 27 minutes long, 6.8 on IMDb. And the rule is, remember, people, if it's under seven, it's got to be under 2 hours. It's fine to be under seven.
Is it?
It just can't be over 2 hours and under seven. Yeah.
Is it fine to be under seven?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask you something? Mm-hmm. Man Up, had you ever heard of it?
No, not really.
That's a big risk.
Yeah, 2015, though, it was made. You know, he's not like he's not the kind of guy who chooses bad films. So,
he's not.
No, so I thought it's in safe hands. Now, there's a girl in it that I've never seen before, and I've never seen in a movie before, I've never heard of before, called Lake Bell, I think she's called.
No, never heard of her.
Let me just quickly double-check that.
What a great name.
Yeah, isn't it a great name? And I remember thinking, she looks pretty.
Did you really think that, or were you thinking, oh my God, she's so hot. She looks pretty.
Lake Bell. I remember thinking she did look quite sexy and thinking, oh, well, I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, yes. I thought she looks pretty. Simon Pegg's great. I love a rom-com. I love all Richard Curtis films. And I got the feeling this was a kind of Richard Curtis-y set in London movie. Why it's called Man Up, I have absolutely no idea. So don't get bogged down in the title at all.
Not it's a good title if it's not to do with manning up.
Completely mistitled film, in my opinion. Okay. I don't know what to call that. So anyway, the premise is she's single. I think she's 34. She is an author, I think, or a writer, which was very common, I think, back in 2015 after Sex and the City. Any single girl looking for a boyfriend was some kind of journalist
girls
or writer.
Yeah.
Yes. Girls, Sarah Jessica Parker, all that lot. They drank your tea then. So she's single and she's really kind of funny, you know, likes eating burgers and drinking beer and not really interested in kind of engaging with the world. She's gone to a party, but she just stays in her hotel room, doesn't want to go to the party because just basically doesn't want to meet anybody and faff around trying to date anybody. The party's hosted by this couple, but one of them is Phoebe Waller-Bridge, for instance.
Oh, wow.
Pre-Fleabag.
Wow.
So that's quite interesting as well. I thought that she's in it. The cast is great, but basically on a train, she bumps into a girl who's very prim and proper, looking for the perfect man, holding a book like called How to Find the Perfect Man or something like that. And she says to her, you should read this. And she's appalled and disgusted by the fact that someone seems to think that she looks so lonely that a book will help her.
You should really think about reading this.
I would lend you my copy, but I need it for my date. It's how we're going to recognise each other.
Oh, it's a setup. Well, they always work.
It was an international bestseller.
So is The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, another excellent book.
Not an excellent book.
We are now arriving at London Waterloo. Oh.
Jessica.
Blimey, I'm not that late, am I?
What are we doing in terms of saying hello?
Let's just go in. Oh, too soon for that. Nope. Mwah. Hello there.
So, book, check. And blind date, check. What are you waiting
for? Anyway, this woman leaves the book for her on the train, and she goes to the train station to find the woman to give her back the book. But the book is a sign for the blind date to spot her. So Simon Pegg's the blind date.
So the
date.
Woman,
yes,
is playing a trick.
No, the woman goes to buy another copy of the book to use as the signal. But while she's buying the other copy of the book, the other girl who doesn't really want to meet anyone has now accidentally met a blind date.
That's such a good storyline.
Right?
We've given away the whole plot.
No, because that happens in the first 10 minutes.
Is that a spoiler?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So now she thinks, okay, do I confess and say I'm not the person you're supposed to be meeting, even though I'm carrying
the
book?
She's a journalist. This is a great story.
But she's thinking, oh, well, this guy actually seems quite good fun and quite nice. So they decide to turn their phones off and go on the date. She just pretends to be this girl, Jessica. And goes along with it. And Jessica's supposed to be a triathlete. She works in the city. You know, like, she's a vegetarian maybe and all the rest of it. So she's got to go along with this whole thing. But she's bumbling along and thinking, well, this is quite good fun. Anyway, the story unfolds, as you can imagine, because somewhere in the middle, like,
Jessica
something has to happen.
Up.
Well, yeah, there's a moment where, you know, she's exposed. And then is she kind of crazy, some mad woman stealing somebody's identity? And then Simon Pegg's got his own problems. He's getting divorced, but his ex-wife turns up with her new partner. The whole thing kind of unfolds into this kind of comical farce. Anyway, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I rocked into the train station at Tunbridge Wells with a 1:27 to go. And I was crying. Like, there were tears rolling down my face. But I had laughed all the way there. I'd been on the edge of my seat. I'd been up and down and in and out. But I was thinking, I can't get off the train, really, until the film actually ends. So the doors opened. I was thinking, credits roll, you know, like. Anyway, they did. And I managed to walk off at just at the right moment. Anyway, it's great. It's free. It's an hour and 28 minutes of your life that you will enjoy. On the train to you, I rang my mum and said, Mum, you've got nothing to do. Watch this film. It's really funny. She texted me about 3 hours later and she went, I am so happy you sent me that text because I've watched that film and the smile on my face is enormous.
No, but can you just say how she said it?
She said, oh, Mikey.
More.
I can't do the rest.
No, can.
My mum's Scottish, just in case you were wondering.
She's got the best accent.
Yeah, she has. She's like little Miss Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
I call her little Miss Doubtfire.
She is like Euphrigenia Doubtfire, but sort of a woman.
Yes. Mm. If you're watching on the Entail app, we'll put a picture of my mum up now.
Mm.
She'll like that. So anyway, it's a great film. But the other thing is that she's really good. Like, really good in it.
But
really
where
funny.
Did she go?
I've no idea. So I'm going to go and investigate Lake Bell to see what other things she's done. I think she's a New York girl, although she plays an English girl here.
Really?
So she has a brilliant accent if she is American. I don't
Can
know
I ask you something else?
Mm-hmm.
Why do movies cast people from different countries when there are a gazillion actors who are great from their own country to play the person in their country?
I get deeply frustrated by this. I'm watching.
Because when there's an accent, even a hint of a wrong accent,
then
you throw in the towel.
Yeah. I'm watching something called Billions at the moment with, who's the redheaded guy from
Damien
Homeland?
Lewis.
Damien Lewis. He plays like a Connecticut billionaire.
Mm.
I just can't get past the accent.
I quite like his accent, no?
I don't know. I don't think it's convincing at all.
Mm.
What I loved is this film called Valkyrie. Have you seen Valkyrie with Tom Cruise? And he plays a German officer who tries to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
And he just plays it as an American, but in a German outfit. He just thought, I'm not going to bother with the accent.
Yeah, clever.
I think, brilliant.
No,
I don't have to do anything here.
Yeah.
The worst thing about that film, though, is everybody played it as themselves, apart from Eddie Izzard, who played it with a German accent. And he stuck out like a sore thumb, really. It was a big mistake.
Mm.
Anyway. I digress.
Can I quickly tell you about Lake Bell?
Please, yes.
So, Lake Siegel Bell is an American actress, director and screenwriter. She's starred in various TV series. Boston Legal.
Yep.
Surface. How to Make It in America. Children's Hospital. Bless This Mess. Secret Life of Pets.
Yes, she's
Home
done
again.
Quite voiceover things. What's the thing she did with Owen Wilson? Is that in there? Because that is... I was going to mention this. If you want the most intense movie you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
You've got to watch this film with her in it and Owen Wilson.
So you have seen her before?
Yeah, but I didn't realise that. It was only when I did a bit of research on her did I go, oh, God, she's in that. Do you find this when you type in your password that you basically just type in whatever word is in your head?
Yes.
And not the word.
Yes.
I've just put Lake Bell in to try and undo my computer.
Yes. Was it a long time ago?
Yeah, well, 5 years ago, let's see.
So, 2015. Man Up. No Escape.
No Escape. Oh, wow. Like, if you want a totally thrilling ride of a movie, it doesn't rate that well on IMDb, because there's loads of problems with it, but you are just literally on the edge of your seat for the entire film. It does not let up.
Really?
Does not give you a break. It's a family caught in the middle of like a military coup in some kind of Middle Eastern, you know, generic city, and they're trapped in a hotel and the whole place turns into a war zone. Wife and two kids got to try and get out of the city, and it is carnage. They're throwing their kids over buildings. They're having to leap from one building to another through doorways, through windows. They're getting attacked, chased with guns and everything. Like, it's like, oh my God, you know, like, you just literally can't get through it. You would hate it.
You know who can't watch it?
You.
Yeah.
Yes, I realise that, but our viewers are very brave.
Explain what I'm like. Tell them what I'm like. No, this is, and this is the worst thing.
And then
I do this. I do this.
Oh, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? What are they doing?
Or I go like this.
I'm going to go back.
Hang on, I'm just going to check something on my phone.
Like, put the phone down, sit down and watch the film. But that is a great film, No Escape. Watch that. Sorry, I've gone off.
But this is what is really good.
We drifted.
Is that we were talking about Man Up and a lot of other good stuff has come out of it. Spaced, Ready Player One, No Escape.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a total pleasure.
This is what I love about this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Is that we go off on tangents.
It's a massive brainstorm.
It's a massive brainstorm.
Okay, sorry, I've dominated there for 20 minutes.
No, it's great. I'm so happy you did. If I can't get hold of you and you're out in the razzle-dazzle or something, I call the next best thing.
Okay.
And I'll FaceTime.
Weller. You got Paul Weller's number?
Not yet. Okay. I'm working on that. But I call Andy, or I would call Pip.
The great Andy.
I had a chat, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, what's happening? Have you got anything to recommend? Because we've got a film WhatsApp group, the three of us.
Oh, we do, yeah.
And he recommended a film to me that I hadn't heard of, but you had.
Uh-huh.
And that is Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should tell someone about your mum.
It's just you and Emmanuel.
You wouldn't understand.
What's the problem? Talk to me.
I don't need you to worry for me.
You're nothing such a beautiful world.
You have to leave now.
Get out.
Cause nothing can be loved into something.
There's got to be a way to solve all this. You just can't keep going on by yourself.
I don't really know anything about it. The reason I know something about it is my son, Sonny, has gone to film school, or a sixth form film school. And one of the first things they did in the first week is they saw a screening of Rocks and then got to spend a couple of hours with the director.
I mean...
It's outrageous.
How good is that? So it's a story, basically, of a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she is being looked after by her mum, but you get the idea quite quickly that her mum is quite unstable.
Okay.
And loving,
mm-hmm.
but unstable. And... I think she's kind of left before the kids aren't fully stable. They're a bit nervous, but she's got a little brother who's extremely cute. The thing that hits you first off about Rocks is that from the get-go, you are struck by the absolute naturalness of the acting.
Okay.
And this is, I'm assuming, so I've never seen these kids before, and they might be stage school or whatever, but... largely complete unknowns.
Okay, yeah, Sunny said that, yeah.
A huge group of girls who are in a kind of gang and they all live locally to each other and they all hang out together and do nothing, you know, like teenagers do. You just sort of stand around doing nothing but together.
Yeah.
But the chat between them, and I kept kind of thinking to myself, I wonder if the director is throwing them a topic to talk about and say... okay, girls, just talk about this as if you were going here, blah, blah, blah. Because it felt so natural, all nudging themselves, all laughing, taking the mickey. And you very quickly worked out that there are two girls who are best friends. It's Rox and this girl, Bucky Backray, plays Rox. She's extraordinary. And she wants to be a makeup artist and she does makeup on her friends and everything. And then the twist is... and she finds herself alone with her brother. And everything just spirals out of control.
Oh.
And it is so painful to watch because she is stuck between wanting to be a kid, carefree, be with her friends, wanting to be a makeup artist and succeed in life. But suddenly she's trying to just put a roof over her head and food in her brother's mouth. And her brother doesn't understand what's going on. And she's trying to pretend because she thinks they're going to be taken into care.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to get put into care. And she does everything she can to not get put into care, but then ends up on the streets.
How old's the brother?
Young, like...
how old's she,
eight.
First of all?
She's probably 15.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
I would say
okay.
15, 16. Mm. Maybe she is 16. Because I think... she's out of the jurisdiction of the social services, but her brother isn't.
Okay.
She's very proud. She's too proud to ask for help, but she really needs help. And her friends offer her help, and she keeps turning it down. You're thinking, no, why are you doing that? Because she doesn't want to seem a burden.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she goes round to her best friend's house, and her best friend's Somalian, and her best friend's got like the best family, and they're so inclusive and they're so welcoming, and the mum and dad are together, and there's like loads of siblings, and everybody's so happy, and she's just looking at it all. She can't compute what this is.
Yeah.
She just has never known security or anything. It's so thought-provoking. And when the film finished, I sort of sent Andy a message because I just couldn't FaceTime him again.
Okay.
Just because I had to really process it.
Oh, really?
Yes,
was that
and
deep?
I just lay in bed for ages just thinking about how often, firstly, this happens and how close people are. And I think especially in the time of COVID and everything, people are very, very close to
the edge.
Ruin yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have job security. I'm in a privileged position. I do feel like I'm in a privileged position, but lots and lots of people are sort of one paycheck away from, you know, not being able to pay the rent. And then when you can't pay the rent, where do you go? Like, this is what she was going through. She couldn't pay the electricity and she couldn't pay the lecky.
Yeah, you spiral down
very, very, very quickly. Yeah. But I thought, how many kids are there, vulnerable kids? Mm. And then when I saw her and him just sort of walking in the streets, I thought, oh, my God, they are so vulnerable.
Mm.
I don't know. It was just immensely thought-provoking, but it's a brilliant film.
Okay, great.
To watch. It's acted brilliantly. I've got to name-check a few people. So it's 7.5
IMDb. Great. Oh.
An hour and 33.
It's almost perfect.
It's 12A.
Okay, great.
Which I think is really interesting to show your kids. If you've got any kids, you know, 12 and on upwards, it is one that you should see. Her brother, Emmanuel, is absolutely unbelievably brilliant. I think he's called D'Angelo Osei Casado, but I think that is his name. But he is breathtaking.
Okay.
And her best friend, who's how she kind of feels like she's been given a lovely warm cuddling, is gorgeous as well. And they really are kind of, you can't take your eyes off them. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Youth at its very best.
Yeah.
All kind of perfect and fun and innocent and naive and a bit lippy and a bit gobby and just so lovely.
Oh, great.
It's really, really, really worth a watch. But prepare to be gutted.
Yes, okay.
And then at the end, like a bit elated, like there was just a twist at the end. You think, you're not left on the floor.
I think I love all films because I love all the emotions. Mm. Like, I love to cry a bit and I love to feel happy and I love to feel joy. I quite like feeling frightened, you know.
Mm.
I mean, the thing about a movie is you can have that experience in the safety of your own home without necessarily an interaction with somebody. And it's nice to explore, I think, all those emotions and feelings. I think it's very healthy. I assume it is, you know.
Mm.
It reminds me of a film called I, Daniel Blake. Did you ever see that?
No.
I think it's a Mike Leigh film, but, you know, he makes those quite very working class kind of desperate films. He's done that one recently about the delivery guy you called.
Oh, yes.
I called. But I, Daniel Blake's another situation where a guy just has a series of bad, I guess, of misfortune to find himself.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Often a desperate situation. Arguably,
in America,
they say
only a paycheck away from the street, always.
Oh, yeah.
Because in America, you've got health insurance.
Yeah.
You've got, I mean, there are so many things that could ruin you financially in America.
I've spent most of my life thinking that as well. I live like that. I always think I'm two bad decisions away from being hungry and homeless, you know. Mm. It's a reasonably healthy way to live, I think, because it keeps you kind of just like one step ahead of the game. When I was about 17 or 18, I had 7 county court judgments. I'd got myself such a mess. I just got myself into a terrible financial mess, and then I was ill for that long period of time, and I just couldn't pay anything, you know. And it's very quickly you get one county court judgment, and then you get three,
just
four,
in case
five,
anybody's
six,
watching that's had a problem. Mm. How did you get out of it?
Well, it's just time and dedication, really. I mean, I rang everybody I owed money to, and you tell them your situation, so they normally pause everything. All the county court judgments take about 5 to 7 years to clear. So I just had to wait really 5 to 7 years till my credit score kind of would get back to normal again. So by the time I was about 26 or 27, I could borrow money again. Mm-hmm. I had a serious amount of debt and proper problem, money problems.
Did it frighten you?
Yes, but you learn to live with it.
Did you feel desperate?
Yes, definitely. But you definitely learn to live with a level of debt and worry and stress in your life that's probably not very good for you. And also the fact that you can live with it means that you could possibly take on more, because you think, well, I can live with owing 20 grand. What's the difference? I might as well owe 30. So it becomes very easy to drip down. But I very fortunately got this job in London. I moved to London and got a paycheck. And, you know, there was a mixture of luck and hard work, I think, that bailed me out. But I do appreciate a story like that, because I realise just how, what would you call it, fragile life is, you know, in that sense.
What was the last film you watched that left you really thinking for days after?
Ooh, I'm going to have to have a little think about that. It's too difficult.
I'm going to leave you thinking about that.
Okay. But great, I'm going to definitely watch Rocks, because I love a young filmmaker. Mm. I love to see what young people are doing when they make films, and what techniques they decide to use, and how they use these techniques to convey various feelings and thoughts and stuff like that. So I'm very keen. And also Sonny loved it. I'm always interested to see what my kids love. Shall we sample Stokes garlic mayonnaise?
So anybody that is a regular listener to our podcast will know that we are mildly obsessed with this brand called Stokes. And I have had this in my fridge for ages, because I bought it for Michael, the condiment king, to try. Now, we should really have made chips in the air fryer. I am conscious that last week's podcast was a bit noisy because we were frying things all the way through in our air fryer. So we have not air fried anything. We've prepped some bread.
Yes. So this is a ciabatta bread that I buy in bulk from Costco. I don't know if you know that or not.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
So I get this from Costco. You buy it in big batches where you get 16 loaves of it. And then it's pre-baked or par-baked, so you then just stick it in the oven for 10 minutes. It's pretty good, isn't it?
How much is it?
I mean, it's not much. I don't know, like a quid a loaf or a quid a
thing.
And
it lasts for ages, pre-baked.
Yeah, yeah, it's pre-baked. And it lasts about 2 months, I would say. So I'm going to do some dipping.
Yeah. So I love mayonnaise. Are you a mayo man?
Sweet potato fries with mayonnaise. The amount of people who've sent us messages that says you've got to try the garlic mayonnaise. And I'm like, all right. Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
I mean, I love mayonnaise, full stop, and I love garlic, so this is a win-win.
Mm.
That's creamy mayonnaise as well.
And there's just the right level of vinegar in it.
Mm.
Like, it's got a twang to it, right?
I have to say, we are not paid by any brands. We're not sponsored by anybody. If you would like to sponsor us, we'd love to get sponsored by somebody.
Not even Coke Zero.
No. So when we like something, it's just we love it. But we had got recommended Stokes Generally Everything so much by everybody that we just thought, we've got to try everything. But the ketchup.
Yeah.
And now that I've bought Stokes ketchup, everybody's telling me that they're using it as well. My mum and dad came down the other day. They went, oh, yeah, we use that too. I was like, oh, my God, everybody's using it.
I'm in danger of just eating.
That's extraordinary.
Oh, so good. We did get in touch. Someone got in touch with us. The wife of somebody who works for Stokes and said,
oh, really?
If you want anything, let us know. We want everything.
That is brilliant.
Oh, God, it's so nice, isn't it?
I'm putting it away. Oh, my God, that is so good.
I do have a little dish of oil.
But let's not eat anymore.
Can I just have one last little bit, because I am really peckish?
But then you need to, like...
And then I'll curve
stop, because okay. It's horrible eating.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
And the sound of the crunching is gives people ASMR, like, nightmares.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. And also, talking with your mouth full gives me anxiety.
What? Now, a couple of other things I can talk about here.
No, you can't talk until your mouth's empty.
Okay.
I'm talking. Okay. Ukuleles. I want to discuss ukuleles because that did sound really bossy, but it is a thing. I don't mean to be bossy.
You're not bossy.
Other people have... I didn't complain about
Lots of people have complained that I'm a noisy eater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think not eating on an audio thing.
Okay. Sorry, I am checking my hair quite a lot here because it's doing some quite crazy things. I mean, I like it, but sometimes it looks a bit weird, so... We've never filmed ourselves before.
Oh, yeah, it's done something weird at the back.
Goodness.
So go side on.
There you go.
Go side on. Look at me. No, look at me. Because that's where you are. Oh, you know that.
That's fine now. Yeah, yeah, okay.
It was just before. On the other side, it had gone funny.
Yeah.
Ukulele.
Yes.
So Tilly is at a new school, and they had this thing called the ukulele jam. Now... My daughter, she won't mind me saying this, my daughter is dyslexic, and she doesn't mind me talking about it because she says if it helps anybody else that's dyslexic, fill your boots. And she is quite a musical person and she is the most amazing dancer, but she hasn't joined a dance troupe because she struggles with her memory.
Yeah.
And she really finds... remembering dance routines very difficult, but if she's just freestyling dance, she's amazing.
Right. Yeah.
And she also struggles. This is why TikTok's been quite fun for her because the routines are so short.
Yes.
She can do like a 20-second. Yeah, you can remember them. I can't, but she can. And she also learnt the drums, which she was really good at. Did she do violin, something like that?
Okay.
But I think learning musical notes and trying to learn a long classical piece, too complicated. Then... her school started this thing called the ukulele jam. And it's loads of them together with ukuleles. And they all strum along. And what you're doing is you're learning a chord. So it's not individual notes. It's just a chord. And you strum it and it's a chord.
Yep.
And it's quite easy. And they're learning three chords or four chords, which is kind of every pop song you've ever known.
C, F and G.
And she came back on Friday. And I've never seen her like this. The school had lent her a ukulele. She practiced for 3 hours. Now, this is a girl. I've never seen her this dedicated at anything before. And it was so nice. And we sat and we sang and they're doing pop songs. So she's really enjoying the whole pop song idea. And then the other part is that it's something to meet new people. So she's at a new school. It's a great way to meet new people that you wouldn't normally meet. So I went to go and buy a ukulele and I learned a little bit about the ukulele. It's a member of the lute family, which makes sense, doesn't it? And the Portuguese, it says it originates in Hawaii, but apparently the Portuguese took it over to Hawaii and it descended from the Portuguese machete, which I was like, what, a knife? But actually a Portuguese machete isn't a machete. It is a small guitar-like instrument.
Okay.
So I went and bought a ukulele. It was 20 quid.
Yes.
I bought a beginner's one in case next week she goes, I never want to play it again. And it's bright blue. It's so cute. And I bought a tuner, which I realised after 5 minutes of being at home was a complete waste of time because Tilly just went onto the YouTubes.
Yes, I've got a ukulele tuner on an app in there. Yes,
she just went straight onto an app. Or maybe she downloaded an app. And it shows you the right colour when you hit the right note.
Yes.
And Bob's your uncle.
Because they're not easy to tune. They're not as easy as a guitar.
Well, when you get a new ukulele, it's terrible. Because if you put it down for 3 minutes, it's gone.
Slightly out of tune, you go through a temperature change as well. The wood swells, the strings shrink. You know, it's like, oh, for God's sake.
She did say in the shop, it's going to be terrible for 2 weeks. You're going to be retuning it all the time and then it's going to be fine. What I really liked about it was that it's a cheap instrument. It's something that anybody can pick up. You don't need to go to a ukulele jam to start playing the ukulele. I mean, YouTube has got some very, very, very simple tutorials.
Super easy, yeah.
You learn those three chords and you are off. And anybody that loves music but has been put off by piano or violin because it just looks so complicated, the ukulele is also a fantastic stepping stone to a guitar.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Principles are exactly the
Tilly
same.
Tilly is really excited about it, learning great. It and doing it. For so the ukulele is
the bomb. It's made the cut.
Is the bomb, it's made the cut.
A friend of mine used to own a ukulele website just selling ukuleles. And he started off selling them to people, obviously, and then he went on to sell them to schools and colleges and stuff like that because schools were finding that the music lessons, which were traditionally violin, flute and stuff like that, you know, it's just changing. Nobody wants all that. Guitars were too expensive. But schools started to buy ukuleles in the shed loads.
So he made
a small fortune over
so
quite a small period of time.
It.
Yeah, yeah. It's become a thing over the last 10 or 15 years.
Wow.
Where lots of schools are doing it.
So
because
I'm
just
late
like
to the
Tilly,
game.
You can learn a tune quite quickly and a modern song. Because the other thing about what you learn at school, it's always like Beethoven or...
Yes.
It's always When the Saints Go Marching In or
and they
like some
are
of the
good,
songs. It's
like,
come on, you know. Yeah, like if you want a young
talk
person
to, the teenagers.
To engage with music, it has to be the kind of music they would want to engage
yes.
with, you know. I love the ukulele.
Can
I play
just
the guitar
say,
as you
I've
know.
Got as far as writing it out. I've written
ukel. Ukel. You're asking a hairdresser how to spell. I mean,
you're
have you any idea how I became a hairdresser?
Don't say
it's
that.
Because I literally can't spell.
Okay.
Or add up. Or anything else.
Ukulele.
You got it? This, Google's, has the Googles helped you out?
Oh! It's ukulele.
Yeah, okay.
Ukulele.
I know there was a very peculiar spelling to it.
U-K-U-L-E-L.
And what about you? Can you play anything on it?
I can't yet.
Okay,
no.
But hopefully...
But I'm just going to show you the
on
one
our next
got.
Episode here of Making the Cut, we'll have a rendition of Let Me Entertain You.
By Robbie Williams.
By Davina McCall.
Yeah, do you think he'll let me have the PRS
right.
rights?
How would you pay? What would you pay?
I'd be quite good. This is the one that Tilly got.
Oh, nice.
It's blue.
Yeah.
And it's 19 something or
other. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to spend more than 20, 25 yeah. quid to get a good one.
1989
yeah.
on Amazon.
So there's quite a few things we can talk about. I know you've got to go quite soon.
Yes.
Shall I don't want to do the electric scooter because I brought it here.
Yes.
Okay. So
definitely,
I bought an electric scooter, folks.
This is so cool. I'm worried and impressed.
Oh, okay.
In equal measure.
Yeah. So I've seen these whizzing around London. I've seen them whizzing around Paris and all sorts of different cities.
But there's a big thing there. You've seen them.
I've seen them whizzing
but
about.
You haven't heard them.
I haven't heard them, no, because they're silent. They've no engine. They're battery-powered scooters.
That makes them so dangerous.
Yeah, I realised that. I nearly ran into somebody the other day who hadn't seen me. A delivery guy walked straight out of his van. He took me straight out. I was like, way!
Cool.
Anyway, let's not go to the dangers of them yet. I just want to talk about what they were and why I bought one. First of all, I live about 2 kilometres from the train station. To drive there and park my car there is £11 a day. The train is then £22 a day. And then I normally hire one of those bikes, like a Limey bike or a Mobike or one of those jump bikes or whatever, which costs about another £4 a day.
But what has happened to the bikes?
Well, I think because of the COVIDs, they've stopped them. You just can't hire them anymore.
So these are the rental bikes
yeah.
that you can rent around London, a bit like the Boris bikes, but they're actual proper, like, Lime bikes you can just leave anywhere in the street.
Yeah.
And they have effectively disappeared from the streets of London. You can't find them anywhere.
There are one or two,
but like hardly any.
I used to get off the train at King's Cross. There'd be like 4 or 5 to choose from. I'd scan one, get on it and cycle off.
Mm.
Can't do that anymore. So,
and can I just explain why Michael, because I do think this is important.
Yeah.
I want to explain why Michael is getting on a scooter to go to the train station when you might think 2 kilometres that is going to be part of your 10,000 steps a day.
I could walk.
Why don't you
walked.
Just walk?
Mm.
But a lot of the time when you're going to work, you have got the biggest, heaviest backpack.
Yeah.
Even for a marine, that would be beyond a yomp.
It's a 20, you know, 25 kilos of gear sometimes I'm looking
kilos.
Around. Yeah. I have often walked, but sometimes you just think, I haven't got the time, you know, or the energy. So I bought one of these scooters, one because you can then... go to the station on it, you fold it up, carry it on the station, on the train, and then get off the other end, unfold it, whoosh, you're away. The range is about 40, 50 kilometres per charge, so you can get yourself here, there and everywhere, no bother whatsoever. It goes, top speed's about 31 kilometres an hour, It's not bad, is it? It's like probably 23 miles an hour, something
too
like that.
Fast.
It's quite fast. And it's got electric brakes. It's got lights at the front and the back and one thing or another. Now, it is worth pointing out that these things are illegal. They're legal to ride if you hire one. So if you go to London and they're on the streets to hire, you're allowed to hire them and ride them in the cycle lanes and bus lanes across London. But you're not allowed to ride your own one. So I am basically ducking and weaving. If I see a police car, I'm down a ginnel in someone's garden. Yeah. Well, you know, they'll have to try and track me down. I'm like the Bourne ultimatum on that thing. Through people's houses, out their back door, through the window, get to the station. Yeah. Now, what I would say is you can get these everywhere. You can buy them in Halfords. I mean, you can buy them, like, everywhere.
How much are they?
Well, if you go to Halfords or something, about £450.
Wow.
Now, there generally is one or two factories in China churning these out and then labelling them in different ways. So there's a company called Mi that makes one, which is MI. Very common Japanese brand, I think.
Japanese?
I think Japanese, because they have that shop in Westfields I used to go in. They do loads of fantastic stuff. Yeah, please Google it. But MI is the name of it. But what I found is those ones only go 25 kilometres an hour. I bought mine off eBay, off a dude. And mine comes with an app, and you program the app, and you can open up the preferences and settings and make it go a bit faster. You can lock it through the app, and you can do some other bits and pieces like sat nav it and stuff like that, so you know where you're going. I did buy it with a phone holder as well. So you can attach your phone to it.
It's just getting, I mean, honest to God, my anxiety levels. It's got a phone. You should not be looking at your phone or on the phone when you're on your scooter.
I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm thinking, where is that? So yesterday I went for lunch at Selfridges, and I went from Selfridges to King's Cross, which is probably about 3 or 4 kilometres. And it was great fun, you know, all the little back alleys and stuff like that. You know, I stay off the main road, so I don't want to get... Like, I've ridden motorbikes my whole adult life since I was 16 years old. So I'm used to being on two wheels, and I'm used to being out around the busy traffic. So I'm a very confident rider. But I essentially don't want to be near big traffic on this. So I know the back streets of London very well. So I tend to do all the little back alleys and little back streets that there's barely any cars on. So I am consciously avoiding traffic and the police. I'm riding appropriately.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How did Simon Cowell break his back?
I have literally no idea. It was probably something to do with all the plastic surgery he's had.
It was on an electric scooter.
Yeah, but that's Simon Cowell. He can only see out of a quarter of one eye.
That's slanderous.
Watch. So he pushed the button. Huh? How good's that? It's not got a horn. Oh, it's got a little bell. And I bought an accessories mirror so I can see behind. So just in case there's anyone creeping up the rear.
I mean, I feel like a killjoy because I do love it.
Yeah, you went on it, right? I did. You go on it.
And I think it's amazing. And I understand why you've got it.
Yes.
But it terrifies the bejesus out of me.
It saves me £15 a day, which is not bad. When you stretch that over a month, then it's paid for itself. And then I'm essentially earning money from owning it.
I worry about you.
Did you see the bobble hat that I wore when I came to your place on it?
Yes.
It was bright orange. I mean, you can see me.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me it had Kevlar inside it.
It doesn't, but I do understand that I should wear some kind of head protective gear.
You did tell me, that was a promise.
Yeah, that I would get a helmet. I just need to get one. Anyway, it's good. This one's £329. It was on eBay. It was reconditioned. So what a lot of people do is they buy them, put new batteries in, put new bits and pieces on it and sell it. It's easy worth that doing that rather than getting a new one from Halfords. I wouldn't spend any more than £330 on them. I'll take some pictures of it so you can see it on the internet.
And were you happy with everything that was on it and everything was there that you needed?
Yes. I mean, it needed screwing together and bolting together, you know, so they give you some Allen keys and stuff like that. So I was a bit worried when I first assembled it. So I drove it around at like 5 kilometres an hour for the first hour just to make
sure
it
didn't
all fall apart. But I've got to say, I do really like it, and it is saving me a lot of time, and it's good fun. And I'm trying to be careful as well as slightly break the law.
But you live on the edge.
That's what
more than me.
Yes.
I am a very conservative, careful person.
Yes.
So we're always going to slightly bit loggerheads with that.
So the one I've bought is called Aovo. A-O-V-O. Aovo is the name of it.
Do you know, can we discuss finding names of businesses?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
That's a difficult one to remember.
Yeah, I mean, it must be. It's a foreign phrase.
A-O-V-O?
Alvo.
Alvo.
You think you'd just call it e-scoot or something.
Yes. But so. As I have understood, because I'm starting a business,
yeah,
that every single name you think of, even the nickname that my real mother called me when I was a little girl, gone as a business. My dead sister's initials, gone. Like, I was just like, what are you doing? These are my things. You know, even made up words. I made up a word. I thought Sessy, S-E-S-S-Y, was a great name for a brand. Sessy.
Gone.
Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it? I know exactly what you mean, because I had a production company with Andy for a long time, and I was trying to find an available domain name for that. It was unbelievably difficult.
What did you come up with?
We were called Full Blown Media in the end.
Oh, my God, that's such a good
name. I think we got fullblownmedia.com, but it was really hard. We wanted to call Pretty Good Media because we were so obsessed with Larry David and that phrase, pretty, pretty good.
But did he not call his own company?
He didn't. We also went for Pear Tree Productions. Anybody watches Alan Partridge will know that was Alan Partridge's production company. That was gone.
Of course.
But, I mean, we hunted for everything, you know. But it was so hard to find something. So that's the scooter. It's great fun. I would highly recommend one. And if you're looking for a Christmas present for your kids or something, you've got a bit of a garden.
Don't get them a scooter.
It's a garden or a park or whatever to play in. It's absolutely great. My kids absolutely love it.
Yeah,
when they
Chester
go,
really liked it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, the kids are always going, can we go? We just need to nip to the shop to get a Cadbury's Flake. I'm going, yeah, get on the scooter then. So it's really good fun.
But do look at the laws.
Yes, study the law.
And you need to make sure that you feel...
I assume that they're going to pass a law where people will be allowed to ride them. I would have thought they're just doing it in stages, so either the roads get used to them or people get used to them, and then they'll bring in a law.
But you do need to be super, super careful, because there was that lovely influencer.
Yes.
She died on an e-scooter.
Yeah.
And obviously Simon Cowell had an accident. So they are not, they do go very fast, and they're not to be taken lightly.
Yeah. We were sent from a chap called Daryl and his wife in Australia. They've sent us these
phone things. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So I've got one at home. They've sent us quite a lot of them. So what I would like to do really is, as you can see here, is maybe send a couple out to maybe some listeners.
Yes!
I'd thought of a question that maybe the first people who answer it correctly...
Can I open it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they've got the strength on here.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got plus...
I think I'm a 2.5.
3.5? No?
No, I think I'm a 2.5.
There's 3.5, there's a 3.
Yeah, let me try these
out. This is the glasses strength, a 1.5. Oh, so try good. Not to be noisy with these, but... They've very kindly sent us quite a lot. So
this is so good.
Yeah, so they're little glasses, and they sit in a tiny little case, and they attach to the back of your phone case.
Okay, so I take them. Oh, what? I can see everything.
So what you do is you put your phone.
Put the glasses away like that.
Yeah.
You slide them into here, like so.
And then if you put your phone, they give you a little thing of what to do. So you put your phone there.
Yeah.
And then it tells you where to stick it. So essentially you peel off the sticky stuff and stick it like that.
So you peel off.
Not that. This.
Oh, I can't see.
Yeah. That's why you've got glasses.
Right here.
Yeah, put your actual glasses on.
Oh, and this?
Yeah, yeah. So peel that off.
Yeah.
And then line that up there with that. And then stick that to there.
That's clever.
Yeah.
So
and then you take that
off.
Then you can take that off.
We lined it up with that.
That's a spacer.
And it taught me, showed me how to put my phone. So you put your phone here. You line this up against there. And then it is attached.
So it can fold around the back.
To your phone. So a phone like that. But then you can't put it in your pocket. However, I think as a man.
Yes.
That is useful.
Yeah, I do think it's very
useful.
It's
not too heavy.
No, it's super light.
It's got glasses in it.
Yeah.
And also, you can take them out. Oh, my God, I quite like it.
And? It's a potential phone stand. Yeah. I know.
I mean, to be fair, these are very, very narrow.
They are very dinky, but...
So, it's basically, I would say, the thing that it's really useful for is if you're out and you don't want to take these in your bag or get them scratched or ruin them. If you need them just for the restaurant, which is kind of all I need them for.
Reading a menu, I know.
You can just, you'd have to just keep it in the middle of the glasses because they are very narrow. But, God, it really, really works.
Yeah, the glasses are quite good, aren't they? Because I'm, and I like doing a bit of model building at home.
Yes, I mean, it would be great for that.
So I've got plus threes at home. But we've got a few of these to give away, I think, if anybody's interested.
I think these are good.
Yeah, me too.
And wait, so did they actually just invent this?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure. The Instagram page is called phone-friend.
Yeah.
Let me just...
I love that. And you can use it as a stand for your phone.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, it's not bad at all. Is it bad when you do a selfie? No?
Phone-friend Australia is their page. And then the website is phone-friend.com.
Hang on, let me get my glasses out.
And it was a chap called Daryl who sent
phone
them to us.
Phone Friend Australia, all one word, no hyphens, no underscores, just Phone Friend Australia.
No, phone hyphen. Oh, for the Instagram page, yes.
Yeah.
So go and have a look. But we'll send some of these out to a few people. I had a quiz question from a previous episode.
Great.
And this was the only one I could think of. It seems a bit narcissistic now. I'm about to say it out loud. But something happened to me where I died in hospital once. What was that? What was it that killed me? If you can answer that question, the first five people that answer that question correctly, you'll find the information in a previous podcast. We will send one of these out to you.
And on that happy note.
It wasn't the scooter that killed me, by the way. Yet, anyway. Great. I hope you're all right. We filmed this, so you can go and watch it on the YouTubes. I don't know what the account's going to be called yet, because I haven't invented it, but
Making the Cut.
Making the Cut podcast. There'll be a Making the Cut already. There'll be a hair account
that. You can do another one.
Can you? You have the same account?
On YouTube.
Really?
I think so, yeah. You have as many as...
Oh, okay. Well, it's either called Making the Cut or Making the Cut podcast, but go and watch it on that. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you very soon.
And I can't wait to get my teeth into all the viewing that you've told me about. I'm so excited about a lot of Simon Pegg in my life.
Yeah, good.
So thank you.
You'll really enjoy Man Up. It's right up your street.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Okay, good.
Okay.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.